Yeah, and you're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast on your 3CR Community Radio, and we've got Don Sutherland on the line. G'day, Don. How are you?
G'day, Annie. How are you? I'm pretty well, thank you very much.
Yeah, well, we've survived very, very cold weather to get a bit of sun yesterday afternoon, so we're all recovering here in Nam, I'll have to say. But we're going to talk about inflation, which is, you know, a riveting subject.
Oh, well, I thought we should talk a bit about inflation for a couple of reasons. I don't really want to go... But the main reason, of course, was that we had the latest inflation figures called the CPI data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics in the middle of this week. And a bit of commentary, not as much as there may have been, but a bit of commentary, all of which reproduced a lot of blather. And so I thought we, as well as later on in the discussion, talking about what the result was that came out with the ABS data, but firstly talk about how union delegates and members, feminist activists, environmental and community activists can learn about such events and what it means and be able to use their learning to talk about the problems in the economy and that flow into the broader society, and to take those discussions beyond the echo chambers out into discussions with people who don't normally feel comfortable about discussing such issues. So today I really want to talk about how we go about as activists learning about the economy and things like inflation.
Yeah, because what they do is use these conversations about the CPI and inflation as rods for the back of workers, don't they?
Yes, and to reproduce a dogma, an ideology, a catechism that is really reflective of a religious attitude towards understanding inflation or productivity or investment or whatever, rather than a serious scientific approach. I mean, the starting point, of course, is that inflation is indeed a problem for workers. And without going into too much detail...
they talk about, the cost of living crisis.
Yes, well, they do talk about it like that. And to one degree or another, for some parts of the working class, it is a crisis in daily life. That's true. And so those of us who are activists in unions or feminist groups and organisations, environmental campaigns and so on, and in the community, we need to be able to analyse, work out where the bull dust is and what we ought to be saying instead in order so that the bull dust does not impede the development of effective campaigning around the issues that are important. Because the bulldust includes an ideology that starts with a simple statement that wage increases drive price increases. And whether we like it or not, that particular element of the ideology does penetrate into the ranks of the labour movement. And it can also be found in some feminist commentary as well, although you don't see much, either good or bad, in environmental activist commentary about that particular issue.
Well, it seems a bit outlandish when you consider that the corporations have been price gouging and it's separate. The price of things has completely separated from the cost of developing each object that they're selling.
Yes, well... price gouging by corporations is described as one of the main drivers in the ACTU report. On the surface of things, there is an element of truth to that, but it doesn't satisfactorily explain why those corporations with oligopoly monopoly power.
that's a word with too many vowels in it, right?
Well, it doesn't explain how those corporations who had that sort of monopoly power before inflation, why it wasn't inflationary, why didn't they gouge then and therefore drive inflation then? You see, it's a bit shallow in the end.
Okay.
And we need something deeper. And I, as I said, I want to now say a couple of things about how we, no matter our age, I don't care about that, as activists, can learn together about how the economy works, and especially such things as inflation, productivity, investment, and so on. Now, to make my point clearer, 50 years ago this month, the AMWU, the Australian Metal Workers Union, as it was called then, now the Manufacturing Workers Union, published a marvellous booklet of about 60 pages. It was called Inflation, the Silent Robber, written by their research officer, Jack Hudson, who was himself a metal worker. The important thing about this, there were several important things about this pamphlet that are conceptually useful. Some of the detail in it is not as useful these days, but conceptually useful for the modern activist, the 21st century activist. Firstly, the various segments of the book, the sequential segments, were published as installments in the monthly journal that went out to all members, 140,000 odd of them. It went out in that form to respect and encourage confidence in their members' own learning capacity about the economy. In other words, tradespeople, semi-skilled workers, process workers were capable of being able to engage in learning about the economy work, how the economy works. It was not the property of the high priests, the economists in the government and in the various institutions like the Reserve Bank. It was not their property. It could be also the property of the members of the union. And then secondly, in going out as a monthly instalment, it enabled constructive discussion with workmates at work in the context of the struggles they were having with their own employer and with the system generally, the general depression of wages relative to prices included. And the context I think that...
So now that you've said that, what were some of the key issues that were put forward in that pamphlet?
Well, the first thing is that overall, the pamphlet enables workers, and also the installments, enables workers to understand why their struggles for a better deal on wages, and then ultimately pushing beyond that to struggles about the control of the investment decision and about the character of the social wage, that is, taxing and spending by the government. All of those things were legitimate territory for workers to engage in political and economic struggle about. And above all, they did not have to be intimidated by workers being responsible for driving price increases. It enabled...
So what you're saying is that they were understanding the mechanisms of the economy that they were living in.
And not just the mechanisms, but they did, the booklet does that in its installments as well, by providing in plain language a summary of the contending explanations about why inflation happened. And it was very neat in the way in which it did that. So it explained what the classical approach was, which is essentially captured in our modern times in the Financial Review, the law of the market and all that sort of thing, originating with a fellow called John Baptiste.
Tell us in plain language, what are the... there's three different conceptualisations of the economy and inflation, right?
Well, there were three then in this book, classical economic theory, and then the second theory deriving from Marx, because we're going in chronology rather than in importance and significance. So it was Say with the classical, Marx with a Marxian approach to understanding how the economy works and how society works, and then on to Keynes. Now, these days, those contending explanations are still essential but inadequate at the same time. Because since 1974, we have feminist perspectives that especially have enriched Keynesian understandings, explanations, so to speak, and Marxian.
Okay, so what are you saying when you say that? What do you mean?
Well, for example, I haven't seen anything yet where feminism actually improves the explanation of why it happens, but it certainly adds great, profound insights about the impact of inflation and also the impact of what the Reserve Bank might do to deal with inflation problems. And that can be found, there's a terrific summary actually of that coming from the Women's Budget Group in the UK that produced a five-point summary of the impact of Reserve Bank economics on gender inequity in the workplace and in society.
And what do they say? What are the 5 points?
Oh, very quickly.
Yeah.
On unemployment, there is mixed evidence, but there's certainly some indication that more women tend to lose their jobs when interest rates are increased.
Okay.
Or maintained at an excessive rate. Secondly, almost certainly, interest rates can impact the gender pay gap, either slow down its closing or even expand it again. On savings and debts, interest rates affect borrowers and lenders differently, usually, often, negatively impacting women.
Yeah.
On financial assets, the Reserve Bank tool for controlling inflation, which they're not talking about very much, called quantitative easing, benefits asset holders, who are mostly men. And finally, higher interest rates raise borrowing costs for the government, and that leads to austerity measures that disproportionately badly affect women. So that sort of thing is far more relevant, and well, I think it's always been relevant, but far more important and available than when Jack Hudson produced his pamphlet.
Now, well, it's interesting that you should say this, because I'll just remind listeners that they're on 3CR and it's Solidarity Breakfast, and we're having a chat with Don Sutherland about inflation. Just what you just said tells people that when they're trying to deal with inflation, how many negative effects it can have for the working class and women in particular when they only take into account the needs of the big end of town.
Yes, in a nutshell, that's true. I think some of there is a particular extra impact, if you like, on working class women, wage earning, salary earning women, and that wasn't really paid much attention to when Jack Hudson produced his pamphlet, and there's lots available for us to be able to improve on how we go about understanding what's going on with the Reserve Bank and interest rates and all that sort of stuff. The other theory or explanation, if you like, that has become prominent is, of course, this modern monetary theory do have to include that in any, you know, in-depth discussion, because it now infects, in my view, infects quite a significant part of the emerging activist base in the union movement.
Well, what that's all about is you can create as much money as you like, right?
I think they do put some limit on it relative to production capacity. But, yeah, the significant weakness about MMT is, at least in this, I've only read the introduction, because that's all...
Yeah, just get on with it. Don't tell us all this stuff. Profits. Go on.
It just does not understand profits. And any attempted explanation of anything in the economy that doesn't grasp the day-to-day reality of the wages-profits connection is not going to be adequate. It's going to fall short, and including any policy proposals it wants to put forward arising from that. So it's not connected to daily life. It's basically a product of academic thinking rather than real-world interactions.
All right. Now, you said in conversation with me that you believe that the ACTU is in love with the Keynesian concepts of economy, and you think that that's got a weakness.
If I said in love with, I've sort of apologised, because it's a bit... but I think that's where they...
I'm just being radio. Go on.
Yeah, that's where they tend to go. In the end, the problem with... because there are also within the Keynesian approach, there are sort of better and worse versions of it, if you like, and the ACTU does, of course, tend to the better. And in terms of
but why do you think that there's a weakness?
Well, I think there's a weakness because in the end, Keynesian falls prey to putting a limit. It doesn't challenge the exploitation problem.
Ah.
In the Keynesianism says the problem with exploitation is when it gets excessive. In other words, there is a level of exploitation of people and nature that is acceptable.
Yep, that makes sense. And the next thing, of course, is that we're in a climate crisis, as well as working class people are under the thumb in lots of ways. And one of them is their wages have been suppressed, although huge amounts of profits and productivity are going into the hands of the big end of town at a ridiculous rate. That's really the problem.
Well, I think, given the time we've got, of the, if you like, five significant explanations or attempted explanations, only the Marxian one starts with the interaction of the exploitation of humans and nature. So the full development of the economy, this fractured, this contradictory, this messy economy called capitalism, is the interactive exploitation of nature and humans. And Marxism provides the best starting point for that. It doesn't deliver the whole goods, but it's the best starting point for it. Now, now the second point about that is that when it comes to inflation, there is a new thing that is priced, and that is the price of the air that we breathe, carbon pricing.
Mm.
So, you know, we are the generation of humanity that is the first to be charged for the quality of the air that we breathe. This is a product of capitalism. And the future depends on us, therefore, being able to develop momentum that moves us on from capitalism to something very different, that actually impedes and slows down and defeats the exploitation dynamic of people and nature. That's really what we are faced with over the next 20 to 30 years. I want to go back and just finish on how we go about learning these things. This is the lesson from that mid-70s publication, is that A, ordinary people can learn about how the economy works. They have the capacity to do that and not leave it controlled by the high priests and their minions in the media and so on, and to not leave it just to academics. Secondly, that the way to do it is through a combination of personal study, so it does require effort, personal study, reading, watching YouTube videos is very useful these days, not available back in 1974, and then collective discussion, and then testing it out with struggle, putting forward demands, struggling for them, putting more intellectual oomph into those demands, because you know more about the bull dust that will come the opposite way, and you know more about the system itself. This is really the challenge for our modern activist, the activist part of our generation, is how to go about escalating that, innovating it, taking it to a new level, and taking it from our echo chambers outwards to people who don't normally discuss these things.
Righto.
May I end with a plug?
Yep.
I'm going to attempt to run a Zoom discussion for probably maximum 20 people by enrolment about productivity, using the concepts I've discussed today. And I'll be announcing and spreading word about the date within the next week or so, I hope, all going well. And maybe there'll be some listeners who want to have a go at thinking it through and acting on it along the lines that I've been suggesting today as we talk about inflation.
Okay. So if they get in contact with you, they can be on your list. Is that right?
I'll have to watch out for the announcement and details and so on. I will be asking for donations to cover my costs, but yeah.
Okay. So, no worries. All right. Thank you very much for talking to us today, Don.
Lovely to talk with you, and look forward to next time.
Okay. All right. So that was Don talking about inflation.